I'm Peter Larson, Director of the History Graduate Program at the University of Central Florida, and you are listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast.
Ocala.
Tavares.
Daytona Beach.
Oviedo.
Apopka.
Orlando.
Lake Helen.
Winter Park.
Eustis.
Sanford.
Welcome to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Riches, the regional initiative for collecting the histories, experiences, and stories of Central Florida, is an umbrella program housing interdisciplinary public history projects that bring together different departments at the University of Central Florida with profit and nonprofit sectors of the community in order to promote the collection and preservation of the region's history. By facilitating research that records and presents the stories of communities, businesses, and institutions in Central Florida, Riches seeks to provide the region with a deeper sense of its heritage. This series will feature a podcast every 2 weeks, in the middle and at the end of each month, that will explore various aspects of Central Florida history. In today's episode, the Florida Historical Society, an interview with Dr. Nick Wynn, Heather Bollinger interviews Dr. Nick Wynn, Director Emeritus of the Florida Historical Society, about how and why the Society moved from the University of South Florida in Tampa, Florida, to a former New Deal federal building in Cocoa, Florida. He also discusses the impact that the move has had on the Society's operations, as well as for the city of Cocoa itself.
Hi, my name is Heather Bollinger. In this podcast, I interviewed Dr. Nick Wynn, Director Emeritus of the Florida Historical Society. Dr. Wynn spoke to me about moving the Florida Historical Society to Cocoa, Florida, the elements involved in making that transition, and also how the Society has adapted to its permanent operations in Brevard County. The Florida Historical Society began operations in 1856. And is the only statewide historical society in the state of Florida. During the Civil War and Reconstruction, the operations of the society were suspended, but resumed in the early 1900s. Throughout its existence, the society has been located in such places as St. Augustine, Gainesville, and Tampa. Since 1998, the society has operated out of Cocoa. The Florida Historical Society seeks to bring the history of Florida to both academics and the public, and its collection contains materials such as maps, books, and manuscript collections from many of Florida's pioneers or well-known figures. The Society publishes the Florida Historical Quarterly, an academic journal which is based at the University of Central Florida and maintains the Rossiter House Museum and Gardens in O'Galley, Florida. The Florida Historical Society operates the Florida Historical Society Press, which publishes about 10 books a year. The Society also hosts the Florida Public Archaeology Network and produces Florida Frontiers, the weekly radio magazine of the Florida Historical Society, which airs on public radio stations and is archived on the Society's website at www.myfloridahistory.org. Dr. Wynn, thank you for speaking with us today. How did you become associated with the Florida Historical Society?
Well, I was over at the University of South Florida as a visiting professor, and the executive director wanted to step down, and so he asked me to take over, and I did.
How did the Florida Historical Society come to be relocated in Cocoa?
Well, since it was founded in 1856, the Society had been in a number of places, from St. Augustine to Winter Park to Gainesville to Tampa, other places around the state, and what it did not have was a permanent home. So when I became the executive director in 1988, one of the first things on my list to do was to find a permanent home for the Historical Society. But we discovered after we started planning to move over here that from one standpoint, Cocoa, Brevard County is the center of the state. Now, not geographically, but you can reach 85% of the state's population faster from Cocoa than you could from Tampa or even Gainesville. And of course, that excludes Tallahassee and Pensacola because nobody can get there quickly. We were able to come to Brevard County for a couple of reasons. One was we found two very generous ladies down in Melbourne who gave us property down there and later their home and provided us with a substantial grant of money. And that's why we initially came to Brevard County. And we had the opportunity to secure a 1939 WPA-built post office that was large enough to accommodate our offices and our collection. It was the first time in a long time that the collection had been consolidated and actually available for use.
What is involved in moving a historical society?
Well, there are a lot of things. One, simple things like changing mailing addresses and phone numbers. But in this case, it was a matter of packing up the collection, which was scattered around the state, consolidating that, and then finding enough library shelves to house it and showcase it, and a simple matter of finding office furniture, and because this had been previously provided by our host, and when you strike out, you have to do all of this, and we are very fortunate. We found the University of South Florida at the St. Petersburg campus was expanding their library, getting rid of old shelves. So Dr. Robert Taylor and I went over and dismantled them and loaded them and hauled them. It took about a week and put them back together after the building had been remodeled. And then we had volunteers to bring in some of the books, but he and I carted most of them upstairs and downstairs. And it was not what you would expect as an academic. It was just pure manual labor. But, you know, I grew up on a farm in South Georgia, so that was not strange to me. So, and then once you get relocated is getting people to know where you are and what's available. And so you literally start from scratch and do public relations and a whole host of other things. It turned out to be very successful.
What challenges did you face moving the Florida Historical Society?
Well, it was a question of establishing a separate identification. Although we were initially chartered in 1856 and disbanded in 1863, 64, and reconstituted in the early 1900s, because we had been housed by so many different institutions, it was difficult to establish a separate institution. For example, we used to, before we moved, encounter donors who would give to the University of South Florida thinking they were giving to us, and they weren't. And so once we moved, we had to establish that identification and get people thinking about the Florida Historical Society as it was originally, as a separate, distinct entity. And so that was maybe the largest or the most difficult challenge we faced.
What has having the Florida Historical Society in Cocoa meant for its operations?
Well, I think it's stable for the first time, and it has been since we moved over here. And we moved over here in about 1997. We completed everything because our building was ready, but we had actually shifted operations about 1993 or 94, but on a part-time basis, and we sort of split between here and Tampa. I used to commute over from Tampa 3 days a week and stay over there. So it was a good thing to get everything stabilized and consolidated. It proved to be very, very beneficial.
What impact has the Florida Historical Society had on Cocoa?
Well, I think it's been a positive one. I know as soon as we opened our building, we got involved with a number of local civic groups and humanities groups like the Brevard Arts Alliance and Cocoa Main Street. And what we tried to do was to give back as much to the community as possible. And as a result of that, we had a very strong core of volunteers that came from the community. At one time, we had as many as 25 volunteers a single day. And the difficulty with that is you got to find stuff for these people to do. And gradually, some gave up, but there was a hardcore of volunteers, and they would come on specified days. But we, usually on Tuesday or Thursday, we would have 15 or 20 people there. And so they saw it as a community thing. And I think that was important, and they certainly contributed. And one of the best things we did to identify with COCO and to help COCO is there's a local community reunion group known as the Mosquito Beaters. And they had no permanent home, so we set aside space and allowed them space to store their archives and to have a place they could meet. And the end result was that they returned that by supporting the library, and they are among the staunchest supporters of the library that we had.
Dr. Nguyen, I'd like to thank you for your time here with us today. Is there anything you would like to add?
No, I really think it was important for the society to move and to declare its independence, and I think it was successful in doing so. And I would encourage anyone who hears this podcast to explore the possibility of becoming a member and supporting Florida history and public history in general.
For more information on the Florida Historical Society and its projects, please visit the Society's website at www.myfloridahistory.org. Music in this podcast by Mihai Sorahan.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments on the program that you just heard. Please join us for the next episode, The Wells Built Hotel and South Street Casino, an interview with Dr. Benjamin Brotmarkle.
Belgium.
Bombay.
Geneva.
Titusville.
Vero Beach.
Donella.